Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, to talk Nashville Predators, Len Gleno.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. John Glennon is in studio with us.
Time to pay off that tease from before the break, before we get to John Glennon. Jason Witten, set to retire from the Cowboys, and he'll be the lead analyst on Monday Night Football. This, according to Chris Mortensen of ESPN.
He's on stage last night getting booed on Roger Goodell's behalf.
That's right.
I wonder if it changes what they do draft-wise. I don't know what their tight end depth chart looks like. John Glennon's tape recorder, storied tape recorder, old school, actually, you know, reeling a little physical tape in there, took another blow yesterday.
Perhaps
Johnny, go ahead and share the story of what happened to your recording.
This was terrible. This was awful news. I was simply working away and last night at the presser and the Kohai, as is often the case with the Kohai, tended to be pressing buttons, annoying, pestering, so on and so forth.
Nice.
So yeah, we've become fairly used to, but you know, so I offer the tiniest bit of resistance at this point, just to kind of pester him, just to bother him just a little bit, and I bring old Bessie the tape recorder up next to his ear just for kicks, just to, you know, give him a little jab, a little needle, this kind of thing. He responds by throwing his arm out wildly, knocking old Bessie the tape recorder out of my hand, sending it flying, somersaulting 20 feet across the room, smashing onto the ground. Fortunately, old Bessie is so reliable and well-built that she survived the mauling.
It's like a Walmart.
You want to hear the actual story?
It's like a pair
story?
Of Walmart sunglasses.
You
can't lose
the actual
them.
Story?
But happens to things that were built pre-war.
So Johnny
it's
and Beauclair.
Yeah, so well.
Very sturdy. Johnny and Beauclair and I, longtime friends, have worked together for a long time. We now sit in a row together in this new press thing. And do we get on each other's nerves and pick at each other verbally? Yes. But Johnny always takes it to this point where he needs to touch my head in some fashion. And it's not that I've got a thing against having my head touched. I just don't like the verbal turning into physical. And I made it clear that I wasn't going to have my head touched. I thought he was putting a finger in my ear, and I swiped it away. Also, Johnny has the luxury of being unemployed largely.
Wow.
And he doesn't have work to do after the press conference like I did. I'm trying to do work, and he's sticking a tape recorder in
with
my
comments
ear.
Like
do it
this.
Again. It's
John,
going to fly
thoughts.
Across
with
the
John,
room.
Your thoughts.
With comments like this, you wonder why I get irritated enough to stick a tape recorder in his ear. Gee. Where could that have come from?
I am grateful. While I'll miss Johnny's presence tonight at times, I know that my head will be unaccosted because he'll be at the Stone.
I've already set it up with Beauclair. He'll be slapping your head once every hour.
Why do you hate Rashad Evans?
I wish I could say I hate old Rashad Evans, just to help you guys out in the critique department. If anything, I guess, you know, just from as much reading up on him and watching a few clips of him, that kind of thing, you know, is that He's not quite as good in pass coverage yet as perhaps he will be. I think the good thing about it is that he has all the tools to become very good in pass coverage. He's the kind of athlete, you know, with the kind of speed and so forth that can become good in pass coverage, which I think will eventually be the big differentiation between him and Avery Williamson. As much as we liked Avery Williamson, as much as he was an excellent run stopper, I just don't think he ever was going to be a three-down guy and be able to help a lot in pass coverage, which I think, you know, Rashad Evans is going to change. And what I also, you know, so often we look at an inside linebacker and we say, okay, that guy's primary, he's going to be a run stopper. But when you look at the pass rush numbers for Rashad Evans, you know, there were some good ones from PFT, had him with 29 total pressures. When you combine sacks, hits, hurries, 29 total pressures, second highest among all linebackers last year in college. So that I think you're getting something kind of special. Yeah, you're getting something kind of special from an inside linebacker that you don't usually get with Rashawn Evans, because that, you know, earlier in his career, of course, he was on the outside and he was a natural pass rusher. So I guess you get a good combination here. You get a three down linebacker, and I think it's an excellent pick. So how's that for criticism?
Yeah, not very helpful in terms of diversity of opinion, if you will. But it's when's the last time they made a pick that there was no objection to? I mean, it's kind of a nice place for them to be in.
We'll get back into the draft discussion at 12:20 with Dave McGinnis, who will join us. Dom Lashusen from The Athletic will preview Predators and Jets coming up at 1:05, plus John McClain today at 1:20. John, you'll be at the Stone tonight, game one of the series we've all been waiting for. How much have you been anticipating?
A lot. You know, I think you just had to have watched these teams play during the regular season. You know, five games, a combination of 41 goals, all kinds of twists and turns in the games. You know, I think the one that stands out most, Predators scored three goals in the third period to come back and win 6-5 in one game. So I think highly entertaining, highly skilled. It should be an excellent series. Of course, it's the two best teams point-wise in the entire NHL. So I think people are going to be very, very entertained by watching this series.
615-737-1045, our number if you'd like to talk and preview Predators and Jets tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
615-737-1045, whatever you want to talk about with the series. And there is a lot to talk about. And we've been talking all week, John, about trying to find the separator in this series between the two teams that are so similar and can beat you in any style they want to play. Is it possible, we discussed this with the draft, to look for the obvious. Is it possible that the separation between these two teams is home ice advantage that the Preds earned during the regular season?
Certainly possible. As you say, that was such a vital goal for them all through the season. That's what they battled for, and that's why they won the season series with the Jets 3-1-1. And when you look back, you know, maybe that was the difference. Maybe that's why they end up with the top point differential top point total rather. I think certainly there can be some other differences as well. I still don't think we have seen the best of what we could see from the Predators defensemen. In the first round, had one goal. Now, they did have a ton of assists, which is big. Obviously, they had 13 assists in six games against Colorado, so they were contributing. But we're used to seeing the Predators D score more goals, and I think we're going to see that against the Winnipeg Jets. You look at some of the point totals these guys put up against Winnipeg during the regular season. So I think that's a pretty significant difference too. I think the Preds D has a couple levels up on the Jets.
Well, and having last change at home was big against Colorado because you could get the matchup you wanted against McKinnon in his line. With a team as deep with their lines as Winnipeg, is that a big factor when we're talking about home ice in this series for the Preds, or is it less of a factor like it was against Colorado?
A little bit less, because Colorado was so much more dependent on that first line. And as you mentioned, Winnipeg's got, you know, two, maybe three good lines. But, you know, I still think it's a big factor for the Predators because of the way their top checking line of Watson, Bonino, and Sissons played in that opening series. These guys were tremendous. I mean, they dominated that series. They were better than Colorado's top line. They were excellent both defensively and, you know, on the offensive end as well. So I think you're going to see that line up against Winnipeg's number one. I think, you know, you could probably say there's a 1 and a 1A line for Winnipeg, but the top line to me is definitely, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, and I think you're going to see Watson, Bonino, Sissons as much as possible in these two home games. Going up against that Jets trio. So I think that's big for the Predators.
I mean, is it reasonable to expect they clean up penalties? This is who they are, pretty much. And so how much do you imagine, as good as the home field ice is, a couple
home
ill-timed...
Field ice.
Home
very,
field, that was
nice.
Really good. As good as the home ice advantage is, a couple untimely penalties that Winnipeg, a good power play team as far as I know, converts... could level that out in a hurry.
Yeah, it could be very big. You know, one of the things that the Predators did especially well in that opening series was the penalty kill. They went 18 for 20 in the penalty kill, and the only two power play goals were both 5-on-3. But you can't keep relying on that. And as you said, Winnipeg is one of the better teams in the NHL, or top 10 in the power play. That's why, you know, to me, one of the big questions for the Predators is the whole Ryan Hartman question. You know, this was a guy that the Predators gave up a first-round draft pick for and you know, to bring onto this team late in the season. And you're getting pluses and minuses from Ryan Hartman. You know, he's actually taken, I think, one more penalty than he has drawn since he has come to Nashville. You know, and it's a tough role, as we talked about with Ryan Hartman. You've got to instigate, but you can't retaliate. This would be something good for you to learn. Oh, so you've got the instigate, but the retaliate, you could still work on. But we digress.
I'd love to see him retaliate.
He and I would get along.
But that's a big question to me. You know, Hartman was a healthy scratch in that last game, and I wouldn't think you put him back in the lineup in game one against Winnipeg either, because it's too much of a risk. You wind up in the penalty box too many times. You give the Jets too many power play opportunities. You know, that's key. That's huge in the playoffs, getting just the one more power play goal.
The other thing about this kill that you talked about last series is, even if you're killing well, it's taking time out of the game where you're not threatening on the other end. Throws your lines off a little bit sometimes, right? When you're putting them back together after you reassemble back into regular units. The downside is a lot more than people tend to think of when they're applauding the kill.
Absolutely. And another thing to consider in that regard too is, there's a lot of teams that maybe during the penalty kill, they'll use their 5 and 6 defensemen out there. They'll use their bottom pairing to try and, you know, get the job done. More workmanlike D, you know, saves energy on the top four guys. Peter Laviolette has never been that way. He's always been, get my best guys out there in just about every situation. So again, you know, you're going to see extra ice time for guys like, you know, Subban, Ellis, Yossi, and Ekholm when they're killing penalties. And those can be some hard minutes, obviously. You're at a disadvantage. So again, you're hurting your defenseman in that kind of situation. And it's interesting, you know, Peter Laviolette has been hit so many times by this question of, what about the penalties? And, you know, every day it's the same response of, you know, we talk about the penalties, you know, we need to be better. But as you say, it's just who they are, I think, at this point to some extent. So it could be a bit of a dangerous situation. They were over 12 minutes a game, I believe, against the Avalanche. I'll have to go back and check that. But they just can't do that, I don't think, against Winnipeg, because Winnipeg's even more talented.
615-737-1045, whatever. If you want to talk about the top matchup you're looking forward to watching in this series, you can talk with John Glennon about it right now. Let's go to Owen online. Hey, Owen.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was just, you know, curious about how you think, you know, what if Winnipeg, you know, their first line gets a nice jump on the Preds this, you know, tonight, and come out to a hot start, how do you think the Preds are going to handle that? Because, you know, home ice is a big deal. Preds energy is great, but you saw that happen in the Avalanches. Colorado got off to a good start and kind of put the Preds in a tough situation.
Yeah, it's a very good point that the Preds against Colorado did not consistently come out with that good first charge, did not come out on the ice, you know, ready to go all the time as they wanted. And when you look at what Winnipeg has done so far in the playoffs, they've scored the first goal in all five of their playoff games, and they went, I think, 4-1, obviously, in those games. They've outscored opponents 6-2 in the first period in the first five playoff games. So I think that's going to be big for the Predators. But to me, and we'll see what happens tonight, I think you're going to see a little bit of a different Predators team in this series. I think as much as the Predators said differently about, you know, respecting every team the same way and playing with the same intensity level against every team, I think there was a natural inclination to kind of maybe look a little bit ahead towards this series. You know, they had beaten Colorado, I think, 10 straight times going into the playoffs. So it's a little bit natural to me to say, okay, you know, Colorado's a good team. And this is maybe not even a conscious thing, but a subconscious thing to say, okay, but we're probably going to be able to handle Colorado. And maybe that's the reason they don't come out with, you know, the blazing starts in each game. to me, the series against the Jets is a different story. These teams obviously had the great games during the regular season. They're 1-2 in terms of points. I think you're going to see a little bit of a different Predators mindset coming out of the gate tonight, and most likely in all the early starts for these for the games in this series.
615-737-1045, our number to talk with John Glennon. Nashville has won four of their last five game ones. The one loss was against Pittsburgh, and they played well in that game one. What is it about Laviolette and having his team prepared to begin a series? Is there anything you can point to?
Not sure I can point to that, but one thing, you know, that we've noticed about the Predators is, I think especially this year, is general consistency. There hasn't been the huge ups and downs. You know, they only had two losing streaks that reached three games, you know, during the entire series or during the entire season. And there were two overtime games or an overtime game in both of those losing streaks. So he generally gets a pretty solid effort from his team. And if you're getting a pretty solid effort from one of the most talented teams in the league, you know, I think you're going to be in pretty good shape. And, you know, last year and this year, I think it's two different mentalities entirely, because last year, of course, they were coming into every series as the underdog, you know, knowing, hey, we've got to be at our absolute best to knock off the top dogs and so forth. Different situation this series, as we talked about. Maybe that's the reason they had some of the slower starts against Colorado, including that game one against Colorado. They didn't start particularly well. They still came back and won. But, yeah, he does. There is, in general, a certain consistency of effort, for the most part, for these Laviolette teams over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, coaching on any level, post-game press conferences, that you can hear a lot. Well, I felt like we had a good plan, we just didn't execute. I don't hear that a lot from him with this team. You know, his team is able to execute the plan he puts in place, and he does a good job of giving them exactly what they need to be able to do.
Yeah, I think they're very well prepared. You know, and you look obviously at Peter Laviolette's track record. He's got an outstanding track record. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been to another final. He's won wherever he goes. And you know, when you have that kind of resume, there's a certain cachet. I think when you're talking to the players in the locker room, when you're talking to players on the ice, you know, players know, well, this guy has been there, done that. You know, we can jump in line. And, you know, maybe I'm just tossing this out as a maybe, that was one thing that, you know, Barry Trotz did not necessarily have. You know, and as outstanding a coach as Barry Trotz is, you know, he had never ever had that long playoff run. Never had that great success. So maybe there wasn't necessarily that unwavering confidence. But, you know, you can certainly argue otherwise on that as well.
Capitals came back in the first round and got it done. And now
guys? They've turned back into the classic Caps just a little bit. They had a 2-0 lead in the third period last night against Pittsburgh and promptly surrendered three goals, gave up game one. So we'll see. You
Rex
know,
Road I, is Rex Road is just an addict. So he's in the press room for the draft, watching Capitals on his phone.
Yeah,
giving us play by play as Johnny's team choked it away.
It's stunning that would come against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Absolutely stunning, because the Capitals have just dominated Pittsburgh over the years. Actually, not true at all. Unfortunately, of course, the Capitals were the team I grew up with in Northern Virginia. So I've certainly, you know, like to pull for them from afar, but Penguins is not a good matchup historically for them in the playoffs.
Matt, lead us off with the discussion. What's up?
Hey, a series with two Vezina finalists, Rene and Hellebuck going at it. Just what are your thoughts on that goaltender matchup and Preds team?
Goaltender matchup between those
Hellebuck
two.
Connection.
Yeah, that's an interesting portion of this matchup because, yeah, as you mentioned, two of the three candidates for the Vezina are going at it here. But what's intriguing Also, is that the stats that these guys put up against one another this year were not particularly good, as we've discussed. This was a very high-scoring series. And when you look at the numbers this year, Pekka against the Jets was 3-1, but his goals against was 3.51, and his save percentage was 901, which is not especially wonderful. And Hellebuyck was even worse. He was 2-2 against the Preds, 3.91 goals against average, and an 882 save percentage against the Preds. So these guys did not necessarily look like Vezina contenders when these teams were going at one another. But to me, I think if you have to give either goaltender an edge here of the two Vezina candidates, I would give it to Rinne. And I think simply because the experience factor of making that run at the Stanley Cup final last year, or into the Stanley Cup final last year, the experience gained, and I think he's played in more, far more big games over the years than Connor Hellebuyck has, and I think he's been more consistent throughout his career. You know, this is Vezina number three candidacy for Pekka Rinne. Now Hellebuyck was very good in the first round of the playoffs, but the Minnesota team that Winnipeg beat was not necessarily that great a team. Ryan Suter didn't play. Zach Parise was out for half the series. I don't think Minnesota was especially strong. So Hellebuyck comes into this series having given up a game, having given up a goal in over 120 minutes, which is impressive. Rinne comes in. The Preds have only given up 4 goals over the last 3 games. So both goalies have played well, especially towards the end of that series. But if I'm giving an edge, I'm giving it to Rinne because of what he has done consistently through his career and in big games.
Do you think that tonight will set the tone for the entire series and how the games will be played? Or do you think tonight will be one story, then there will be an adjustment over the weekend and they'll come out and play a completely different style on Sunday, and then game 2 will set the tone for the rest of the series?
I feel I always have the same style. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to about this series, is that both of these teams are kind of go teams. Both of them are attack minded teams. They want to move the puck up the ice. You know, you don't see defensive minded contests between these teams. Now there will always be a little bit more defensive minded games in the playoffs than there were, I think, during the regular season. But both these teams, because they are so offensively minded, I guess is the way to put it, they also have a tendency to give up some pretty good scoring chances. And that makes, from a fan standpoint, that makes a game entertaining when you've got two attacking teams that are also giving up some decent scoring chances. And that's I think, one of the primary reasons we have seen so many goals scored, during the regular season between these teams. So whereas I do think every game and every series can be different, I don't see styles changing drastically between games. I think both teams got to where they are by being up-tempo, get-after-it kind of teams.
Fiala finished the last series on the fourth line, clearly a message being sent there. Turris did not have his best series or has not played up to the level that we expect of him. How important is that line in this series?
I think it's very important, probably more so than it was in the opening series, simply because of Winnipeg's firepower. You know, there are going to be some games, not every game, but there are going to be some games that probably have to be won 5-4 as they were during the regular season. And you're going to have all your weapons firing if you're the Predators. And I don't think it would be nice if the Predators could get 19 points every series out of the Watson, Sissons, Bonino line, but I don't think that's going to happen necessarily every series. So you're going to need that other line to supplement the top line of Johansson, of Forsberg, and Arvidsson. And that's why I think they really need to step up. The Turris line really needs to step up. I thought Craig Smith played pretty well. The other two guys were a little shaky, and I think they realized that. So I think we'll look for them to be better. It's interesting to note that both Turris and Fiala had 3 goals against the Jets during the regular season, so maybe the matchups are more favorable for them.
Now, matchups from Winnipeg's side of things. Who should Nashville fear the most from Winnipeg's top 6 forwards?
You look at strictly the points, and of course, Blake Wheeler, who's on that top line, comes to mind because, you know, he's got the huge point total, 91 points, 23 goals, 68 assists. So he's been a big part of a lot that the Jets have done. But to me, I think the biggest fear, concern has to be Patrick Laine for the Jets, who's technically on the second line, but it's more of a 1A line. And that is just because he is such a pure goal scorer, can score goals from anywhere, can score goals from any angle. He's got a great release on his shot. You know, he's a youngster, but he had 44 goals this season, by far and away the best on this on the Jets team. And just to me, I think anytime he's on the ice, just because of how he scores and where he scores from, he's dangerous. I think that's the guy that the Predators will most have to be worried about for a Jets forward.
Game one tonight. John, how can we follow your work this weekend?
You can follow me on Twitter, at Glennon Sports. Don't forget NashvilleLedger.com. I'll be writing regularly for them as well. And we'll go through the entire list later. And, almost forgot. We've got at least one, maybe two, columns coming up next week for the Paul Kuharsky
website. Yeah, I gave him the week off. I gave him the week off this week because I'm not really interested in written preview stuff. We'll hear from him as things unfold at my site. And again, the Twitter handle, Glenn on Sports.
What was that again, Reed?
That was Glenn on Sports, Midday 180 Predators correspondent.
John, thank you.
Thank you for having
John
me.
John Glennon has been our guest.
Coming soon, a Glenn Glenno parody account to Twitter.
Headlines when we return. Reaction from last night's NFL draft. We continue to talk Preds a little bit later. Dom Lashusen from The Athletic will be on to preview the series. And Dave McGinnis joins us in 20 minutes. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Weather is going to be great this weekend. A great weekend to sit out on your back deck, to look out at your yard. Hopefully you're looking out at a beautiful yard, like I'll be looking out on my beautiful yard. And that's all thanks to the good folks at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. Brad Wilkinson on the line with us right now to tell you how you can get your yard looking beautiful as well. Brad, welcome in.
Hey, Chad. You know, and the thing about you looking out across your beautiful lawn and anybody else who may be looking out across their lawn, maybe it's not quite so beautiful. The thing is that it's not going to stay beautiful. You've got to continue with those inputs as we go down the schedule, follow the plan, stick with it every 4 to 6 weeks. If your lawn does not look quite the way that you want it to look, it's never too early. It's never too late to get started. Come by Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. We can get you on a plan today, knock out any existing weeds, get down a fertilizer and a pre-emerge that's going to prevent any weeds from coming in, get you on the schedule going on through the summer so you can have a good lawn and landscape. And like you said, Chad, finally going to have a decent weekend of weather to get out there and probably some stuff being put off in the lawn. Hadn't been able to mow a whole lot here lately. It's been kind of cool and wet. We're going to have a great weekend to do that. And if you are not looking forward to mowing your lawn this weekend and it has anything to do with your equipment, come by Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. If your equipment is old and wore out, maybe underpowered, maybe too small, come by and talk to the experts on the equipment side, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. We can get you the right piece of equipment that's going to fit your application, fit your budget. We've got products from brands like Toro, Bobcat, Ferris, Walker, Wright Standard, Echo, Red Max, Shindawa on the two-cycle side. We're celebrating Toro Dealer Days now through the end of May, up to $300 off on select Toro machines. We've got certified equipment technicians at all of our locations. We've got the parts and the service to take care of you after the sale. Come by and see us, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, 7 to 4:30 Monday through Friday, 8 until noon on Saturday. Cool Springs, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Bellevue, Hendersonville, Mount Juliet, Knoxville, now welcoming Brentwood Lawnmower to the Dickens Supply family. At Dickens Turf on Twitter, we got a Facebook page. And as always, Chad, you can check us out online at DickensSupply.com.
That's Brad Wilkinson with Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply.